Good morning, church.
It's good to be here today. I walked in. Tom tried to give me a visitor card. Anyway, we've been out and about in the last several weeks, and we thank the gentleman that filled in for that. We are glad to be back home, as always. But we are looking this morning, this being the month of November and the month of our Thanksgiving holiday. We are looking at thankful people. Now, this week, I pop on at different times and watch or listen to other preachers. I know sermons. Those of you who remember Dave Jones from Family Camp, I brought up his. And so for the month of November, he's preaching a series on thankful people. And I was just like, he stole my idea. But he didn't steal my idea. It's an idea that we find in Scripture. And so as we look at this here this morning, it is important for God's people. As we learned from our video this morning, thankfulness starts at a very young age. At least it should. And we are going to take a look the next 3 weeks here at how we as the church should be thankful. Few verses in the Bible are more difficult to obey and clearer to understand than our text that we have here on the screen of 1 Thessalonians 5:18, where it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Very easy for us to understand, but I think very difficult for us to obey. Samuel Clemens once said this, "It's not the parts of the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts of the Bible I do understand that bother me and give me difficulty." Thankfulness is a theme that runs through the entire Bible and a practice that radically transforms the hearts of those who express it. In today's current climate, nothing may be more important for Christians than cultivating gratitude. As the world gets darker and filled with more pain, thankful people will shine brightly with the light of Jesus. One of the things that's interesting to me is how the secular world, and even some Christians, go straight from October 31st, Halloween, and jump right into Christmas with little or no thought for Thanksgiving. The holiday of Thanksgiving is a time to use as a reminder for that which we should be thankful to God for, the many blessings that He has given. For those who are believers in Jesus Christ, we, of all people, have many things in which to be thankful for, should reflect on the blessings that God has given, not merely one day a year, but each and every day of the year. A little boy at the Thanksgiving table offered up a prayer for the family meal, and he said this, "Dear God, this is Jimmy. Thank you for Thanksgiving, and thank you for Christmas and all the other holidays. Thank you for the turkey and the dressing, and thank you for Mom, and thank you for Dad. Thank you for even my little sister, even though she annoys me sometimes. Thanks for the books. Thanks for the TV. Thanks for my video games. Thank you for loving us. Oh, yeah. And take care of yourself, God, because without you, we're all sunk. Amen." And if we've learned anything from our video, from our youngsters, is how really simple giving thanks can be. It's just a simple acknowledgement of what we are grateful for. I did catch Colton there between our shake and howdy time and said, you know, I'm thankful for food and water too. His mom says, yeah, that's apparently all he does anymore is just eat. So, but In this series that we're going to be looking at entitled Thankful People, we're going to look in the life of three men in Scripture that found it not only important but necessary to express their gratitude in the life for the things that the Lord has provided and has made available to each of them. Thankful people are just better people all around. Thankful people are joyful people. Thankful people are generous people. Thankful people are enduring people. Thankful people are prayerful people. Thankful people are winsome people. Thankful people are hopeful people. And thankful people are kind people. On the other hand, we all maybe know a person or two that aren't so thankful, and they're not so much fun to be around. While most Christian virtues get little societal airtime, thankfulness gets prime billing in our national consciousness. Once per year, our non-Christian culture celebrates Thanksgiving as a day to stop and give thanks to God for His abundant grace. You know, this is a perfect opportunity for the church to take advantage of. I've learned through the years, and maybe it took me long. I know it took me longer than probably some of you. But you know, in December we have a whole lot of visitors that are coming, perhaps maybe once or just twice a year. And I've learned through the years, when you find somebody wanting to know more about Jesus, then you take advantage of that opportunity to give it to them. We don't rip on them for only being here. Oh, well, we saw you at Easter. Or wasn't it last year we saw you? Be grateful that we have that opportunity to share. For it can lead to a more and deeper relationship for them with Christ. So when we expect that at Christmas time, and we look for those opportunities, seize those moments to talk about Jesus, to talk about what He was really sent here for, and that's for our salvation. And with that said of the Christmas month of December, I believe in the Thanksgiving month of November, we have a real opportunity for the church to let their light shine. For who should let their light shine better of the love and the example of Christ in our life than that of a Christian? The first gentleman that we're going to take a look at in this series is the great King Hezekiah. Now I know, right? He's probably one of the first guys that come to your mind when you think of Thanksgiving, right? Mine too. That's why we're speaking on him. But he does a great job of teaching us some things that we need to be grateful for and thankful for. And some of those things I think that Hezekiah understood, even though it may go unsaid, with what we're going to share here this morning from biblical text. It runs right along with our video snippet that we had this morning of thankful people. Our text this morning is 2 Chronicles 31:2. And it says this, "And Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites by their divisions, each according to his service, both the priests and the Levites, for burnt offerings and for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord." Hezekiah, he goes hand in hand with people like Nehemiah, like Ezra. And when they share the experiences of their life, we see that thankfulness is at the top of those things. If we remember what those men were involved in doing, first of all, the rebuilding of the walls, the rebuilding of the city, and then specifically the rebuilding of the temple. I think what Hezekiah is doing here in this text, where he reminds us of the jobs of both the priests and the Levites. It is my responsibility as a proclaimer of the gospel to remind the church that we are modern day priests, that not only serve for a few moments, few months at a time, and then we get some time off, but when we sign up as a Christian by obedience to the gospel, we are then 24/7, 365 in our service. I think this is what Hezekiah is looking for here. The priests and the Levites have their jobs, and he knows that they have been, some of them have been in training in these jobs since they were born because of the family line in which they were born. Well, I'm here to let you know that since you have been born into Christ, your family line has set you up for service. Not to be served. Remember, Jesus even said he came to serve, not to be served. And church, do we think that we're any better off, that we're any better? We have been set in line to serve. We had this video of our little ones to show us how important it is for us to consider the jobs that we have been given. Our first point that we want to consider here this morning, with not only the young ones in our church, but also from our text, is how important it is for us to get off to a good start. How important it is for us to get off to a good start. All of those of you here this morning that have, you as a child grew up in a family that went to church, because we know no one was born a Christian as for their physical birth. But you've been raised in a godly home, a spiritual home, a Christian home. Raise your hands. Okay? So we're grateful and thankful for that. Then we would make the assumption the rest have not, right? So, but let's see those hands. If you weren't brought up in a Christian home, you didn't have those things. And so as we look at this, don't we see this as an opportunity then, as a reminder to us all how important it is to get off to a good start? I've had so many parents that come to Christ, maybe as teenagers, and then as they get older and get married and have families, or maybe they come to Christ in their 20s or 30s, or maybe it's in their 50s, and they say, I just feel like we've missed out on so much in our life because we've come to Christ so late. We've missed out on so many opportunities. In other words, what they're saying is, it's important to get off to a good start. It does help. It's not the end-all be-all. Just because you were raised in a Christian home doesn't mean that you will accept Jesus Christ. We are given that as our individual bent, our individual choice to follow. We pray that you do. But let's go back and consider something here in the time of Hezekiah that was probably ringing pretty, even though it's been quite some time, they know the concept of it probably better than we do because they look at their lineage, their family lineage and history more than we do. Beginning with the reign of Solomon, David's son, the nation began to turn away from God. This is where we see some good kings, especially in the tribe of Judah, from the tribe of Israel. Remember, we had to split divided kingdom. So we had the tribe of Judah, the kingdom of Judah. They were about 50-50 on whether they were good kings or bad kings. All the kings from Israel were bad kings. And so as we see this, we're talking about young people. They're talking about passing this on, such as our children in our video, or even nations. They all have their beginning. It is important that our children are taught gratitude. They might not fully understand it as of yet, but having introduced it to them at a young age, they will understand and how we why we are trying to instill and put the mindset in them of giving thanks. If you want to see how your young ones do, and I believe they do very well, just stop by my office at the end of the service when they go in to get their suckers, and every one of them say, thank you. Thank you. Right? And then, even as the parents check, did they say thank you? Yes, they did. Now, so it begins even as little kids. We live in a world today where children, young people, those that are millennials, and especially those of Generation Z, if you don't know what that is, then you're probably not it. Okay? That they have no idea what it means to be thankful. I'm not saying that as everybody. I'm saying that as a generality. Okay? Many of them, especially those who are not Christians, and even some that are, believe that everything is owed to them. That's what our society is teaching us. They feel entitled. They should feel entitled, just not in this way. They should feel entitled to put in a good day's work for a fair day's pay. That's biblical. Thessalonians tells us about that. That if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. To get them off to a good start, teach your children to work. Even do little chores around the house gets them off to a good start, and it reminds them to be thankful. Show the younger ones how to work. Get them off to a good start. It'll benefit them the rest of their life. It's not only important to get off to a good start, it's important to be grateful and thankful from the heart. In the midst of a long line of kings who had forsaken God, Hezekiah, king of Judah, sought the Lord. You'll find this many times about him. This again is a reminder to us that serving God is a personal thing. We may tell our kids today, did you say thank you? And drive it into them, but eventually it'll be their choice to say thank you. Just because mom and dad lived for Jesus doesn't mean that you are living for Jesus. During the time of Hezekiah, there was a revival and a turning back to the Lord in the nation. He consecrated the priests and the Levites who had been performing their duties, who had not been performing their duties, even though they had been trained up in them since their youth. As well as cleaning and consecrating the temple is what Hezekiah did. This is important for the priests and the Levites because they should have been trained up in this since the time that they were born. Church family, we need to be sure that our children are being raised up in the service of the Lord. Do we hear that? Not to go to church and say, what can the church give me? But go to assemble with the Lord's people and say, what can I do for you? Or more importantly, what can I do for you? The Passover was celebrated as had not been done since the days of Solomon. They forgot what they were going to church for, if they were even going to church. Idols were torn down and people began to return to a worship of the true God. Hezekiah also appointed priests and Levites to praise and to give thanks to God, restoring worship in the temple. Hezekiah wanted them to remember the one from whom all blessings flow. Church, give God thanks. Joyfully praise Jesus and be happy that the Holy Spirit is present to encourage us. It's been said before that if you're happy, let your face know it. Right, people? We have a whole lot of unhappy people here this morning. Or maybe they're just too tired. I agree. It can be difficult at times. There may even be a struggle. But really, stop and consider how much we have to be thankful for. Our little ones, if you paid attention, I watched it several times over the past 2 weeks. They expressed some of the things they were thankful for. And one thing I began to notice as I began to watch it over and over and over again is that they're thankful for relationships. I was surprised, never heard one of them say, you know, anything about, you know, their ball and bat that they got for their birthday. They didn't say anything about the racetrack they want for Christmas. They didn't say anything about the dollhouse they're hoping to get. You know, it was a lot about relationships with the Father, with each other, their family, their friends, or even, as Colton shared, the necessities of life. And yes, Nutty Bars are a necessity of life. This is one of those times that I believe that the little ones have set a great example for us. So how about if we take some time here in the month of November specifically, before we get to Thanksgiving Day, and let the Lord know how grateful and thankful we are. So not only should we get off to a good start and be grateful from a thankful heart, it's up to each and every one of us then to do our part. Unfortunately, the nation turned away from following the Lord soon after Hezekiah's death, and that's why it's important, as even Ryan shared in his opening this morning, that you don't follow Dave, you don't follow the elders, you don't follow people, you follow Jesus Christ. Hezekiah was a man who sought the Lord and did right. Hezekiah was a good man. And he knew it was important to even teach and to remind others to be thankful. And so we see later on in this text, 2 Chronicles 31, 20 and 21, it says, "Thus Hezekiah did throughout all of Judea and did what was good." Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. Every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart and prospered. Hezekiah didn't keep what he was learning and what he was reading and what he was understood from the Lord. He wasn't keeping that to himself. He was doing his part of passing that on. Now, the unfortunate part of that is we can only pass on to the next generation. Then it's their responsibility. When we pass, it's nice, it's respectful to comment on those from the past for the efforts that they had put in. But what really matters is, what are you doing? What are you doing? Don't live on somebody else's laurels. You need to press on. Hezekiah was leading the nation back into the service of the Lord in the midst of idolatry and perverseness of his people. Sounds like a current news update from our nation today. Though he was not perfect, his life stands out as one of the few righteous in the midst of an ungodly line of kings. Even if the whole world goes downhill and we pass away, we need to be sure to do our part while we can and when we can. Hezekiah did what he could, when he could, while he could. He didn't lay on his deathbed then and say, "I wish I'd done more." Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to say that, because I think we all could say, "I wish we'd done more." But here's the difference. We're alive and well right now. We have the opportunity to do more. Don't just talk about it and be sorrowful about it. Let's do something about it. Do your part. We were shown this morning at the communion table a reminder of Jesus doing his part by taking our part. As Christians, we should do the same. In the midst of an ungodless generation that is surrounded, that surrounds the believers today, do we follow the Lord and point others to Him and give thanks to Him as well? Do we, or we need to be like Hezekiah and be a people that are bringing others, reminding others? I don't think it's wrong for us as Christians to look at fellow Christians and remind them of the jobs they should be doing. Do we hear that, church? And so if you happen to be reminded of the jobs that you should be doing, don't get upset at somebody for reminding you. Get upset with yourself and do better. So many times we get mad at all the wrong people. It's their fault. They should have did this. They should have. No, it's high time the church takes responsibility. Do your part. It really is an expression of how thankful we are. Are we thankful people? It's time that the thankful people of the church rise up and serve. And it starts with us. It starts with us here. As we go out this week, it's an excellent thing to remind other people that we are a thankful people. We're thankful first and foremost because Jesus Christ has died for us. He died for us upon that cross of Calvary. Matter of fact, the plan of salvation says our first step should be to believe that He is the Son of God. That is that plan of salvation. John chapter 8 and verse 24, that we believe who He is. Are we willing to repent then? Hezekiah was living with a group of people that needed to repent because they weren't doing what they needed to do. Some repented and they did the work of the Lord. Church, it's high time that we do that work as well. That we need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. That's why we do what we do, is so that other people will know. It's not just a confession that's made while we're being baptized. It's the way we live our life for Him. And remember, he says, if you will not confess me before men, then I will not confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Then to be faithful, or to be baptized, excuse me, to be immersed into Jesus Christ. He who's believed and has been baptized shall be saved, and he who's disbelieved shall be condemned. We ought to be immersed, engulfed in Jesus Christ. That we live for Him each and every day. And we're thankful each and every day, not just one day a year. And then to be faithful, Revelation 2:10. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Church, it's high time that we count our blessings. For all the things that we've been given, that we name them even one by one, as the song says. Maybe it's good to make a list. We make a list of all the other things in our life. Some good and some not so good. But let's start listing the things that the Lord has done for us. We're going to run out of paper real quick. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation?